Still on the search of that one true love? On the limbo in this crazy world of dating, marriage, relationships? Well, listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, your one-stop podcast for everything about relationships.
Hello and welcome to Golden State Media Concepts Relationships Podcast. I am your host, John Johnson, and welcome to 2017. In this particular episode, I'm going to talk about enablers, and it's something I'm going to relate to from my own personal experience, having been an enabler. And, you know, there's some dynamics to this that if we understand them, then we can kind of see how we get into that situation and how we can move forward from being an enabler to being able to help ourselves. Because one of the things that happens when you are an enabler, what you're doing is you are investing your time in someone else, and not necessarily in a good way. It's one thing to be helpful, to be a coach, to be a mentor, to guide, but when you take on somebody else's problems, you are not necessarily allowing that individual to learn from their life's experience, and you're taking over for them. And there are times when these situations can even look like you are just inserting yourself in someone else's life. And how unfortunate for you to try to help someone and then to be seen as someone who's taking over or being bossy. And I'm going to talk about how sometimes those things begin in our youth and how they carry themselves forward. So I'm going to take a little break and we'll talk about this. Thank you.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching. Hey! The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Hello and welcome back to Golden State Media Concepts Relationships Podcast. I'm your host, John Johnson, and this particular episode I'm talking about the enabler. Specifically, what I wanted to cover were some things about how the enabling starts in its the perception. I believe it starts as a perception of, it's not always control, but you know, there's that helpful nature that we have. And if you take this back to a childhood thought where we are taught to be helpful, we are taught to not be selfish, and in order to do that, we have to extend ourselves, and sometimes when we don't even feel like it. So if you can imagine that feeling and then carrying that forward, well, when you get into that helping nature, there's obviously a lot of reward that we then associate with it. At least that's how we're taught to believe. And if you carry that forward, what tends to happen is you learn to do things for other people, And there's supposed to be some sort of intrinsic value associated with that. So you learn the risk reward with that. And when in life, people obviously come across situations which are beyond their, maybe their skill level, their knowledge level, or something like that. And then you're a person that happens to show up. And let's just say, in the interest of being helpful, you extend yourself. Well, that is a wonderful thing to be able to do. Because again, if you carry back to that thought about who you are as a child, that you're taught not to be selfish and you're taught to extend yourself, and even to the point where even when you don't want to, well, again, we learn that this behavior gets rewarded. So that's why we do it. We do it out of love. Well, unfortunately, because this sort of thing is more of an adult concept, that when you teach it to children, you have to also learn to teach children boundaries. And when they don't get the boundaries, what tends to happen is they tend to overextend themselves. And then they tend to find these situations in which they are accustomed to being in, and they help people. They start out as being helpful, but what can obviously manifest out of these kinds of encounters is that you wind up enabling somebody, meaning continue to perpetuate their lack of control over their own lives. And it could be something as simple as, well, a person may have a cash flow problem. So they come to you because you've been taking care of your life, you've got a savings account, you have money that you can loan, and they ask you for it, and you don't tell them no, because out of the goodness of your heart, you're trying to be helpful. Well, you loan them the money, let's say loan, you loan them the money, and then when it comes around to paying back, they may or may not pay you back. But the idea is, when they don't, then what do you feel like doing? Do you feel like you still have to help their situation the next time they come back to you? Well, what it seems like has happened in that case is they have not really solved their financial problem, whereas they may have to learn to live within their own means. If you continue to give the handouts, you are likely enabling their poor decision making, and you take it upon yourself to be that person for them, being the go-to guy. I mean, I know it feels good sometimes, at least for you enablers. It feels good for a while, but then you get into the problem where you don't learn to say no, and that's really about having poor boundaries. I've lived it. I can share a little bit about that in a bit, but I'm giving you this scenario because it happens over and over again, and it could be whether it's loaning somebody money, loaning them your time. And when you think about the time aspect and in the relationships that we find ourselves in and we become enablers, oftentimes we get really entrenched in these kinds of relationships and you get stuck. They might be the boyfriend-girlfriend thing, or they could be the marriage thing. And in fact, it happens oftentimes parents enable their children and vice versa. And it's unfortunate when these things don't seem to be able to sort themselves out because they don't necessarily do it on their own. What tends to happen is there's an event and there's some sort of explosion or uncontainment that happens. It's an event that happens and it forces people to look at the situations and the dynamics. And when these things go on, then we tend to figure out, wow, this has been going on for quite a while. Because usually it's not something that just happens once. It's usually something that's gone on and on and on, and it just wears itself out. And if you're the person that's doing the enabling, you find yourself exhausted. And you may have several of these kinds of relationships in your life. It may not just be the one that's painfully obvious, but it could be a lot of situations. And where you, the enabler, are creating these things, you may go from one situation to the next because you're looking to fill that void of being loved, of being cared about, and you do it in a way that's unhealthy because you're creating a sort of dependence upon yourself to those kinds of situations, and then vice versa, creating a dependence of that person onto you. Now, we can all tend to find our way in life, but when we don't allow that to happen, that process of figuring things out, then we stunt not only our own growth, but you do that for the person that you're enabling. And it's an important skill to be able to have, which is to manage your own life. And because by being able to do that, then you can go on to the next lesson in life. You can go on to the next phase. And being an enabler itself is emotionally expensive. It can be financially expensive. And when you look at what the reward is, and oftentimes the reward is just feeling loved, There's lots of ways in which you can do that that don't have to do with you being having to overextend yourself. I mean, sometimes these situations can get so out of balance that it can really affect your health. And in the case of that, where's the payoff? You find out that it really isn't there because you've been creating these situations that are unworkable. And the psychology behind trying to fix these things isn't about going into another situation that's enabling or being an enabler. It's about really sorting out what happened to you as an individual that you feel the need that you have to continue to do this. And, you know, it can be very painful to get yourself unhooked from these situations because these things don't happen in a vacuum. If you're enabling your child, say, then you could be doing something that doesn't allow them to grow and live the experience that they're creating. If they're creating a mess out of their life, let's say they're out, they're driving and they're under the influence, and they've been warned that that's not a very safe thing to do. I mean, we already know. I mean, it's classic. We know driving under the influence is not a good thing. There are consequences to that. And perish the thought that it comes to the point where you end somebody else's life in a car accident. I mean, that's not new information. We know that that's not a good thing. But if you enable somebody by allowing them to, they go out and they wreck their car, and now you're going to give them your car, that's not a good choice. That's not a good choice for you. It's not a good choice for them because they really need to see what the situation is that they've created. Now, it's maybe the best thing you can do is to give them some advice and point them in the right direction, but you don't have to do the work for them. They need to do their own work. And it's learning how to say no in a healthy way is really one of the skills that we all need in life. And you give yourself the gift of being able to say no to someone, and then you pick and choose. And for that, it could be a situation at work. It could be a situation at home. And it's to your benefit to learn how to navigate these situations and have a positive outcome and to feel good about your contribution. When you have to second guess yourself or have to wonder about these things over and over again, can you really say you're getting the enjoyment out of it? You know, I can think of a very personal example of a dear friend of mine who, and I call him a dear friend. He wanted to borrow some money. I was kind of uncomfortable about the situation, but it was $50, so that's not something that I can't afford to lose. So I gave him the $50, and you know, a couple of weeks later, he returned the money, and there was one other encounter with that, so that seemed to be a very safe thing to do. Then it wasn't too terribly much longer than that when he asked for a couple of thousand, and that experience taught me right then and there. I said, look, I don't have that I could afford to lose to give to someone, and I didn't want it to ruin our friendship also. So I politely said no. I didn't ask for a reason as to what the money was for, because I don't want to get into that part of where it seems like I'm trying to make sure there's a justification for it, because that's not my role. My role is not to make them feel like they have to justify to me why they need what they need. Either I can do it because the need was they needed $2,000, or I can't do it. And the answer was I couldn't do it, because what I saw was this was more an issue of there's a cash flow problem in this person's life, and they need to solve that however they need to solve that. And I was not going to insert myself in that situation. Now, it was the beginning of a change for me, and it was difficult to say no, but we still remain friends. And for that, I'm happy that my saying no did not change a friendship. And it honestly, it really shouldn't have. But remember, I was coming from the enabling standpoint, and it was a very uncomfortable thing for me to do. But I survived it, and I learned to begin to set priorities and set limits on things, that is, set boundaries. And it's been a healthy thing for me to do. I now have the capacity to be able to look at situations like that, because you have to grow from it. I mean, you know, you're going to encounter those things, and then you're going to put the boundary up saying no, and then there are a couple of times when you probably should have said no and you didn't. So it's understand, it's a line that tends to move back and forth. So it's situational. So you have a situation here that it might be one person you might say no to or yes to, and then, you know, vice versa in another situation. So it's not always hard and fast. You can move that line wherever you need to and understand that about yourself, because you do want to be able to feel good about yourself. And this isn't about putting other people down. This is really about helping you establish boundaries. And maybe in some cases, this really could be a teachable moment for another individual. Because if they're constantly creating some sort of dependence by their actions, you helping that situation along isn't by enabling it. You helping that situation is saying, look, I think there's another problem here, and maybe we can look at that in a different way. So that's how I think friendships can really blossom, because you might be able to help point somebody in the right direction. And far be it from me to decide what your boundaries are, but I just want you to consider that for yourself, because I'm constantly learning. I'm constantly learning, and thank goodness for the people in my life who allow me to make the mistakes that I make and to come back and clean them up and correct them, because that's another part of life too. So you have the same the ability to do that. It's well worth your time to look into the situations and relationships that you have, and you don't have to say yes just because somebody asks. You can take a beat and think about it and see whether it works for you. See if the and it may not. And if it doesn't, you can say no. And if it does, say yes. But it's important oftentimes to create boundaries, create conditions around things, so you can definitely give yourself an exit clause when you need to. And that is not, having an exit clause isn't about a lack of commitment. It's about establishing boundaries, and you should learn to be okay with that. I'm going to take a break, and I'll be right back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Hello, and welcome back to Golden State Media Concepts Relationships Podcast. I am your host, John Johnson, and welcome back to 2017, or this is my first broadcast of 2017, and one of the things that I'm going to at least mention in this particular podcast is about New Year's resolutions. And, you know, it seems like the whole idea behind that is because we want to give ourselves a new start. And it's a great idea. Start at the beginning of the new year, it's a benchmark. You can look at it on the calendar, and it just seems to be a reference point that we can all get around. And whatever the reasons are for your New Year's resolution, whether it's losing weight, whether it's taking a class in school, whether it's finalizing some business or promising to organize your life in some way, shape, or form, I think all of that is great. But I'm going to take you a step beyond that and consider that whenever you feel like you need to make a change, make a change. New Year's happens to be a good point, and it seems to be more commercial than anything else, make New Year's resolutions. So it's really snappy, it's really pop, it kind of hits your ears, and it sounds good because we can all kind of relate to that. But when you think about the whole purpose behind making a change, I want to advocate that you make a change whenever it should happen for you. Because if you wait for New Year's, and let's say you're in the summer, you're in July, and you're going to wait for New Year's before you start changing, look at all that time that you're losing going towards your goal. And it's about really making an effort into something that's important to you. So make that your decision, is that it's important to you and you want to make a change for that reason, because you're going to see that it's going to improve the quality of your life. And that's what this is about. You're not only having a relationship with other people, but having a quality of life relationship with yourself, something that you can benefit from. And what I can attest to is that if, let's say, you're a parent, if you are taking care of yourself, everyone around you benefits. So there is definitely a residual effect. And as you establish a boundary around self-care, meaning doing a better job of it, you're also establishing a reputation with not only yourself, but with those around you. And people tend to aspire to that. So if you're a parent, here's the example. If you're doing a better job of taking care of yourself, you not only make your children happy, but they also look at that as an example for how to be. It's just the way we're wired. And by doing that, you can give yourself a quality of life and you have a better relationship with people. And you can imagine how good it would feel when your family members want to come to you for advice about how you made those changes. And there's obviously a lot that you can contribute, because if you've lived a life, then you have something that you can be willing to say about it. And, you know, be honest, because to say that these things are easy is not true. Changes are difficult, because oftentimes what we do is that we just fall into patterns and tend to repeat those patterns over and over. But when it comes necessary to make a change, it can be extremely difficult, because the things that we tend to do is we tend to look for the path of least resistance. And there's a lot of philosophy around those kinds of thoughts. But if you were listening to the part of the podcast when I was talking about enabling, then the person who's taking the path of least resistance is that person who is being enabled, the person who is always asking for the handout. They're taking the path of least resistance. They're not necessarily taking on their life and making effective changes that empower them to be better for not only themselves, but those around them. So I'm challenging you to take the advice of looking at those situations and those changes in taking them on, and certainly be selective. Obviously, you can't change everything all at once, because that's too overwhelming. People generally don't succeed at that. I mean, if life circumstances force you to face situations like that, then obviously you don't have a choice. You got to deal with it. But when you're volunteering yourself for things, certainly look at something that's going to have the biggest impact for you, and make the change, make the difference for yourself, and see the fallout. Well, I'm just going to say fallout, but see the benefit of that. Because certainly when you can embrace that and see the benefit, it's going to make you feel good. And what better thing to do than to invest in yourself? That's important. You're investing for your future. Remember, New Year's resolutions apply all year long. Start when you can start. One of the other things that I wanted to bring up is, when you're in relationship with someone, do you feel stuffed? Do you feel like you don't know what it is you want, and then you just kind of go along with it just because you like being with that person? Well, one of the things that I'm going to ask you to challenge yourself in doing is finding out what you want from a relationship and then learning how to ask for that. Because it's in these kinds of situations in which you learn to help take care of yourself. And clearly, I'm going to go from the standpoint of you're very giving, you're loving, and you obviously want to contribute to the relationship, but it's about asking for what you want so that you feel fulfilled. And when you're finding out these kinds of things, you learn about yourself, because you obviously have needs, and it's about getting those needs filled. That's what a relationship does for you. It's being in relationship with someone that you learn a great deal about yourself. You learn about your flaws, you know, to say it that way. You learn about your flaws. You learn about your giving nature. And, you know, the interesting thing is that this is sort of, there's a variable component to that, because it really depends on the person you're involved with as to how these things show up. With one person, you may be extremely giving and loving because your perception of that individual is that they're the same way, and it's sort of easy to love and want to give. You may be in the experience of another individual, and they seem a little bit difficult, and you may feel good about giving, but then you may feel a little hesitant about asking because maybe you're afraid of the rejection thing, and that happens a lot. I mean, I've certainly experienced that. But the thing about asking for something that you want and then expecting that from your partner, that's really significant for you to be able to do that for yourself. First of all, people can't read your mind. To assume that is to assume a lot of things. I think we're sold on the idea that, you know, if you have a soulmate, they can read your mind. They've always had the same perceptions as you've had and similar philosophies and that sort of thing. And that's a real romantic notion. It's certainly nice to start from there. But when you really get down to the nuts and bolts of how people operate and how they can bridge some of the breakdowns in communication, it's really about establishing a rapport. And that rapport includes sharing how you feel. And, you know, the idea of how you say it certainly applies, but it's important to say it. Some people are very articulate, and that in itself can be a bit daunting, because if you're not as capable with your words, then you might feel the need to say it perfectly. Well, what I can tell you is that there is no perfect. Sometimes you just have to get it out and then sort through it. Again, it is important how you say it. I mean, it's important to say it in a nice way. You can't just come out at people and be mean and yell and so on and so forth. That doesn't necessarily get the message across in the way that we want to get it across. But you're not always going to say it perfect. And at least if you establish with your partner that I'm just trying to get this out, you know, we can sort it out, you give yourself an opportunity for a better outcome. I'm a person who, through years of how I operated, I learned to stuff things. And what would happen to me is that when I would finally say something, it was usually after I had been really upset and overwhelmed. And when it came out, it wasn't necessarily the one thing that I was upset about, but it was about several things. But it was so front-loaded when I talked, it just seemed disproportionate. And that's another thing to listen for. When you're talking to someone and they all of a sudden seem to explode with a lot of emotion on something that seems that it should be very small, it's probably happening because they've had a lot of other things that have been building up. And as a listener, I think it's important to be compassionate to someone in those situations and not just react because you're mad at being yelled at. I think you need to learn how to give your partner the space to vent. And you know what? That's a really important thing to be able to share with both directions, because then you can learn to depend on each other rather than having to always go to someone else, because that's when relationships tend to break down. You want to create the bond between the two people, not between the two people and somebody else. I mean, that's a three-legged stool. And what happens in a three-legged stool, if you pull one of the pieces apart, then it falls over. And another term that they use is called triangling. And primary relationships don't necessarily do well when you're triangling. So you want to keep it between you and your partner. And I'm talking about a monogamous relationship, you know, mutually understood. That's how it works. That's the dynamic. And when you keep it in that form, then you learn how to support each other. And the dialogue that comes with that is we learn to read between the lines. We get better at it. It's not something that happens right in the very beginning, but we get better at it. And it's not just the romantic notion. Then there's really some strength to it. And, you know, you learn that you pick and choose your battles. Everything isn't worth having a fight over. It's sometimes you learn, like I said, there may be things that have built up, and then it just comes out in a way that seems like it's all about this one little thing when it really isn't. But there's an opportunity to deal with it and put it to rest and to move forward. And that's a great gift to be able to give your relationship and your partner, the gift of being able to listen to them. Because when they get it, that you're really doing it out of love, they really feel appreciated. And I think from the reaction, they will not only feel love, but they'll want to return that. And that's wonderful. That's great. And, you know, you create great relationships, not only for yourself, but as a person who has a family. When you learn to be able to listen to your, say it's your children or your parents or something like that, you're creating a great example. And it has a ripple effect. It definitely has a ripple effect. So employ that. Learn to be a good listener. Learn to understand what your needs are and being able to communicate that and develop that rapport with everyone in your life. It's not just necessarily your love relationship, your partner, but to do that with your children, do that with your parents, with your neighbors, anyone, and you tend to have a better, much more peaceful life. You can live with honesty and integrity, and that's a peaceful way to go to sleep, okay? I'm John Johnson. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Relationships Podcast, and I want to thank you for listening.